Hello, my name is Leah Jones, and these are my favorite things that got me through primary cancer treatment.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello, and welcome back to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and I'm also today's guest. If you are new to the podcast, what a weird one to start with. But in June of 2021, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Stage 1A, very early, thanks to getting a routine mammogram. And I have been in some sort of discovery or treatment ever since. But on Friday afternoon, March 18th, I went to Northwestern for my final radiation treatment and got to bang their like symphony level gong at the end of it. A zildjian, like a big, huge gong. And that is, I think, considered the end of my primary treatment. The primary treatment for me was a lumpectomy, a breast reduction, also called oncoplasty, chemotherapy. I did 11 weeks of Taxol. I do every 3 weeks, I have immunotherapy. And then I had 3 weeks of daily radiation treatment, so 15 radiation treatments. And I thought, at first, I thought today, well, one, I could have just taken the day off. You all understand that I have really worked hard to keep up with this podcast during cancer and have been very forgiving on the weeks when I've had to bow out. And then I thought, maybe it's time for a reflection of like pulling out some Zoom clips. I used to, early in my diagnosis, I would call Zoom from my car and record conversations with myself about the things that doctors had said to me in the hospital earlier that hour. But I think that needs to bake a little bit longer. But what I can do is share the different types of pop cultures and apps and food and like, what were the things, specifically things, the types of like hobbies and culture that I asked people to talk about on this podcast that meant a lot to me during cancer. This is what I'm, you know, at the end of a fundraiser when you start thanking people, how you always forget someone and you hope it's at least someone who knows that you tried your best. So I guess I felt like if I started talking about specific people or care teams, I would leave someone out and that would feel bad. But on the flip side, what I can do is a TV show won't feel bad if I don't mention it because they won't know I didn't mention them. So today's episode is just me giving you my recommendations of the podcasts, the TV, the movies, the apps, and the kind of like the random cancer recommendations I have today. So why don't we start with Act One podcast? You're listening to a podcast. I live alone. I listen to a shocking amount of podcasts, although I don't listen to podcasts while I work because I can't hear words and create words at the same time. So I'm not someone who is able to do anything other than play a match 3 game on my phone while I listen to a podcast. And since I haven't been doing chores much, especially as I got pretty sick on the Taxol, I just lay around in my comfortable chair, I listen to podcasts, and I play the equivalent of Candy Crush. Angry Bird games, I play Toy Burst Chest. The games that don't have invasive ads, but are generous with infinite lives. So I listen to podcasts and I stare at my phone, or I listen to podcasts and I fall asleep, and then I wake back up and I rewind the podcast. So what are the podcasts that got me through the last year? Now, for a very long time, How Did This Get Made has been my number one favorite podcast because of my beloved Jason Mantzoukas, my Hollywood crush. Now, I was thinking about like the first time this very specific memory I have explaining who Jason Mantzoukas was to coworkers, which was when I had gone back to work after my hysterectomy. So I was 40. I'm about to turn 45. So I've had this crush on Jason for 5 years. I feel like we're in our waning days of the crush, which is fine because I am about to be a truly middle-aged woman. I turn 45 on Wednesday. But How Did This Get Made? This year started doing these Monday releases, Monday matinees, where they would pull something from the archives, and Thursday and their Friday releases of new reviews. And so having two How Did This Get Made available a week was really comforting. They also did a number of live shows on live streams over COVID, but it was really nice, the few that I got to catch during this cancer treatment. So always grateful to How Did This Get Made and the How Did This Get Made fan community, who are just one of my OG podcast fan communities. They're just the best people in my specific corner of How Did This Get Made fans, which are like the feminist. I'm in the feminist corner. But I think the surprise number one podcast for me during cancer has been the Doughboys. Doughboys are, you know, Mike Mitchell, Nick Weiger. It's a podcast about fast food. I love fast food. I like food. I like talking about food, but I also mostly I love listening to these guys. And once I got to know what their bits were and understand their comedy and the running gags and that they are in fact very liberal in their actions. They're liberal politically, they're pro-union, they're pro-workers, and so some of the but it's also like a very blue podcast. I just found Doughboys to be incredibly fun and comforting. And then at some point, about a year ago, I decided I needed more Doughboys, and so I joined their Patreon and their Discord. And that fan community were some of the first people online that knew that I had cancer, because I am a very online person. But when I was getting the information about like it might be cancer, it might not be cancer, I found the Doughboys fan community to be like this really kind corner of the internet where I could talk about this scary thing and bounce it off of people who, right, at the time were strangers. But at this point now, I've met a number of them for drinks, and they sent me kind of collectively this very kind gift when I finished chemo. They're just, the guys are lead with kindness, and their fan community, as much as they joke about them on the podcast, they've got a great fan community. And so this is love for both Doughboys and the Domies, their fans. Again, the fans that I are in the corner of the internet where I am. I'm not on Reddit. I also want to shout out to Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard and Monica Padman. I feel like I've talked about it many times on this podcast that when Armchair Expert started, I started a Facebook fan group for Armchairies so that Jocelyn, who's my co-host of Candy Chat Chicago, would have a few people to discuss the podcast with. And I was like, I bet we can find like 20 people to listen to it. And eventually the group is now at like 8,000 people. Again, another good corner of the internet because I was very strict about who could join. I didn't put up with bad behavior. But when I was diagnosed with cancer and I was going around my life figuring out what I had to drop and what, like, what responsibilities could I drop to take on the responsibility of taking care of myself? Being the admin for that fan group was something that I dropped. But Robin was amazing. She stepped up. She built a new admin team. And they were so, again, so generous in thoughts and prayers, well wishes, and also very generous gift givers. Robin sent me this, like, very cozy, fluffy hoodie that I love, but that Spidey loves more, and he claimed it for himself. So it now is what he sits in when he sits next to me on my in my living room. So those are, like, the three fan communities and podcasts that meant a lot to me. But also, like, almost every podcast Nicole Byer is involved in. So Why Won't You Date Me, Best Friends with Sashir Zameda, and Newcomers with Lauren Lapkus. I listen to all three of those every week. I don't listen to 90 Day Bae, which is her podcast about 90 Day Fiancé, but I adore Nicole Byer. She is my favorite, one of my absolute favorite comedians. I can't wait until I get to actually see her do stand-up. I've seen her do live podcasts, and she is part of why I listen to the Doughboys. And also the next podcast on my list, High and Mighty with John Gabris. He's kind of there's almost limitless podcasts that fit the what I do here. And there was a point after I started doing this podcast when I realized, like, oh, you're just doing High and Mighty or The Dork Forest, which is interviewing people about a topic they choose, not necessarily a topic they're an expert in, but something they love. And so High and Mighty and Dork Forest are two of those podcasts for me where they... Hello? All right. Okay, great. Thank you so much. And we're back. Hi, Spidey. So, High and Mighty and The Dork Forest are two podcasts that are just conversations where you listen because you love the host. So, John Gabris on High and Mighty, Jackie Cation on The Dork Forest. And they get people who are excited about a topic and you get to talk to them. So, those have been fantastic. Blank Check with Griffin and David. This is another movie podcast. I never watch the movies they're talking about, but I, you know, they are often 2-hour episodes. They are good to nap to, but I feel like I'm learning a lot about filmmaking too by listening to them. Okay. Gotta take a break. Okay, I'm back. I will have to figure out some editing. So Blank Check with Griffin and David is a podcast I really enjoy. I don't watch the movies they review. I'm a weirdo who listens to a lot of movie podcasts. I don't care about spoilers, and I rarely watch the movie, so I am a weirdo in that sense. The Jackie and Lori Show is one of the few podcasts I have set to auto-download because I start every Monday morning with it. Jackie and Lori are two women stand-up comics who have both been on the road for 30 years. They both released albums this year. Lori was a monologue joke writer for Conan O'Brien. Jackie is the host of The Dork Forest. And I started listening to them a few years ago when I was trying stand-up comedy again and just really love following the industry through their commentary and their chit-chat. So I really, really love The Jackie and Lori Show. a new podcast in the mix is Deep Dive with Jessica St. Clair and June Diane Raphael. And this one is on the list because, so June is obviously a co-host of How Did This Get Made? And Jessica St. Clair is a regular guest. She also went to college with Jason Mantzoukas. But Jessica is a breast cancer survivor and talks openly on the podcast about her experience with breast cancer, what it's like to go up back for the follow-up MRI after 5 years. She's had other friends who have had breast cancer on to talk about their experience. She had a nurse practitioner on to talk about cold capping and like vitamins and foods and complementary medicines. So for me, the deep dive has been really important because Jessica St. Clair is someone in comedy who doesn't hide her breast cancer story and has only gotten more success in Hollywood after surviving it. So that is one I love. Two podcasts that friends do that I adore, The Bagel Report with Esther Kostanowitz and Aaron Ben Moshe. They cover Jewish pop culture moments, shows from Maisel to the Wonder Years and everything in between. So that's really fun because I've been friends with Esther for a long time and it's like visiting with a friend. And then huge shout out to the Friday Night Movie podcast, Shai Corman, Becky, Lily, the whole Corman family. Shai and I know each other from kind of the Jewish conference circuit and got to talking to each other on a retreat because I think I was wearing a How Did This Get Made shirt. One of my custom made one-off jokes that I made to go to a live show. So Shai and I first bonded over that. And then when I started a podcast, he helped me with my mic technique. And I've been on his podcast. He's been a guest on mine. He's been a guest host on mine. And nobody hypes up other independent podcasters like Shai Corman. And so I love Friday Night Movie Podcast because I can absolutely imagine being in a minivan with the Corman kids when they were teenagers, coming and going from Blockbuster, talking about the movie, or coming home from the movie theater, dissecting the movie. And so I just really love their podcast and their energy. So follow them on Instagram in particular to get lots of hype for other independent podcasts. So when I'm not listening to podcasts, I do watch TV, and I haven't had a lot of stick-to-itiveness with TV shows during cancer. I'll get a taste for something and watch a few episodes, fall asleep, come back the next day and watch something else. But some of the shows that I've really enjoyed watching, one just wrapped, Love is Blind season 2, was a Chicago season, which made it extra fun to watch and try and figure out locations and what kind of douchey bars would the cast members go to that I would never go to. And The Circle season 2, maybe season 2 and 3 came out. I don't remember. Not only do I have pandemic time blindness, I have cancer time blindness. But The Circle is one that was really fun that Jocelyn would come over and we would watch the finale. We watched it separately and then she came over and we watched it again together. Chocolate School is a competition show on Netflix, but where like nobody gets kicked off. And that was really fun. Lately, this is a recommendation that came from, I think, Jackie Cation. I'm going to say she talked about it on Jackie and Lori show. There's a TV show called Ghosts. One's on CBS, one's on BBC. The BBC show is the original. CBS is the American remake. Both are excellent. There's some primary plot points to get the show kicked off that are the same, but the casts are both casts are great. They're ensemble casts where a couple inherits a haunted mansion, the wife has an accident and can suddenly see ghosts. And there are about six or seven primary ghosts that live in the mansion that become her friends. And it's just like, it's kind of an office comedy, but where one character can see the whole ensemble and the other character can't. I would hugely recommend it. Murdoch Mysteries, I was introduced to on the podcast. I'm still on season one, but my oncoplasty recovery is the only show that I remember watching during that was Murdoch Mysteries with my mom. It's just like a cozy blanket. It's a cozy mystery set in Toronto at the turn of the century. You can listen to my interview with Monica Raida to hear the whole story, but it's been one that I have really fun recommending to people because people start watching it. There's 15 seasons. So if you like it, you've got, it's not just like, oh, there's 20 episodes and I'm done. So it's a nice long series that you can really sink your teeth into, but also that just is cozy. Like I said earlier, Nicole Byer, I love everything she does. And she has a new sitcom now called Grand Crew, which is a friend group that hang out at a wine bar. So they're the Grand Crew. Carl Tart's in it. It is a blast. So that's a new show out now. Season one is out. And last night I just started watching Minx with Lennon Parnham is in it. And Lennon used to do a podcast with Jessica St. Clair called Womp It Up. So she is, again, someone I know through comedy podcasts who has had roles on The Goldbergs and roles here and there. So it's really exciting to see her in the main ensemble. So that's Minx. It's on HBO Max, which I only learned recently is a combination of HBO and Cinemax and not just like a maximum version of HBO. Okay, so moving on down my list, I have movies, and one of the traditions of chemotherapy became my friend Ronnie and I going on steroid Saturday movie matinees, because alongside my Toxil, I would get steroids, and then I would just be pumped for days. So originally I was like high on energy like through Monday, and as I went through chemo the steroids kind of wore off sooner and sooner, but on Saturday mornings I was up early ready to hang out, and people don't go to 11 a.m. movies in the winter, so we would go and see movies that weren't nothing opening weekend, so we would wait for something popular to be on its week two or three, so like there wouldn't be crowds, and we would have a brunch if it felt safe enough. You know, like part of my chemo happened during in between Delta and Omicron, so we would actually go and have brunch. Later, we would just go to the Burger King by the theater because nobody ever ate inside there, so it felt pretty safe. So we would see like mostly action movies. So I saw Dune twice, actually. Spider-Man Homecoming, Jackass. I saw once with Ronnie and once with other friends because it is so funny. The King's Men, Fast 9. And I know there were other movies because we went to the movies almost every week, with a few exceptions for like Christmas. I can't remember a single other movie we saw, but if it was kind of on the action adventure, not a scary movie, because they don't really like seeing scary movies. But if it was recommended by the podcast I was listening to, I would see it. So I did see some, like, Spider-Man Homecoming. I hadn't seen any of the earlier Spider-Men, but I still watched it. Or Fast 9, I listened to hours and hours and hours and hours of podcasts about Fast and Furious franchise, but I've never, I've only seen one movie from it. So that's not like a great, I mean, the movie on this list that I can go on about for hours is Jackass 4, Jackass Forever, which is because when Jackass first came on TV, I was a hall director in Durango, Colorado at Fort Lewis College. And the only cable in the building was my apartment and the lounge. So guys who lived in the building, my residents, would come to my apartment to watch Jackass. And I just have really fond memories of these freshmen in college coming into my living room to watch Jackass. And this movie felt like a documentary about male friendship in like a really weirdly positive way. Because Jackass can be really, it's easy to dismiss it until you, but I think if you watch it, it's up there with the Bachelor Party episode of Parks and Rec for like really positive portrayals of male friendship in my books. As an outsider to male friendships, I guess. Then I have this, like, so I just have this huge list. Next, I have apps, like, not appetizers, but stuff on my phone or on my computer that really I really liked. But it really comes down to TikTok. I spend too much time on TikTok because you can't do TikTok and do other things because there's no auto advancing the videos. So you can't watch videos and do anything else with your hands. You can't, like, it's just, you just have to watch TikTok. But for kind of just straight dopamine and silliness and learning, like, I learn things from TikTok, but it's also just silly and weird and a scary good algorithm that I know I probably shouldn't have on a phone, but I love it. I love TikTok. So that's the big winner when it comes to apps. I'll also shout out Caring Bridge for making it easy for me to have a place to share updates about my medical history, to know that like people who wanted the information would get the information. So Caring Bridge was the tool I used to tell people about cancer stuff. I also found it really important over this, especially as things were, not even as things were coming to an end. I don't know where this science is, but anticipating a trip and planning a trip is as valuable to your psyche as going on the trip. And so I had to book some things to have carrots, the carrots on a stick in front of my horse to get me through chemotherapy. And so the thing that I booked to get to the end of chemotherapy, like the trip that had to happen for me, was seeing the Doughboys live in Boston. One, I am convinced, I remain somewhat convinced that Jason Mantzoukas will be their Boston guest. And it was scheduled to be the weekend I finished chemotherapy, and or the weekend, a week after, I was scheduled to finish chemotherapy, and I was going to fly into Hartford, Connecticut, have brunch with college friends, drive to Foxwoods Casino, see a show at Foxwoods Casino, get like a limousine or a party bus, go to Boston, see them at the Wilbur Theater, and then come home. And Omicron kind of just wiped out all the early winter, like the January, February shows. So those got rescheduled, both the Chicago and the Boston show. I had tickets to see Letterkenny live, I think maybe that was originally supposed to be in February. Knowing that I had somewhere to go and celebrate, though, was really important to me. And when those weekends got here, the weekend that was originally supposed to be the Chicago weekend, I hung out with a lot of Doughboys fans and drove people out to Superdog to have hot dogs. And we got mani-pedis together and just like made a fun day of it. And Gino, who's really active in that community, managed to get like same day reservations at Girl and the Goat. So we went to Girl and the Goat and had just like the most amazing meal. And then the weekend of the Boston show, I said, I'm keeping the trip. I need it too much. I can't not go to Boston. So I went to Boston, again, met up with Doughboys fans to go to Regina Pizzeria in the North End. I saw my friends. I saw like some other friends of mine. Spidey. Hey. And now those shows are coming up again in May. And there's a Chicago show on May 15th. There's Boston on May 6th. In the middle of chemo, I went to Talia Hall and saw Kyle Kinane. He did a couple sold out nights of stand up comedy. Kyle is someone that I went to open mics with way back in the day when I was doing stand up comedy open mics. And so he was kind enough to put me in the VIP section and invite me to have drinks with him and his family and the other comics afterwards. And it was just fun to see him and shoot the shit and trade jokes and give people tags to their own jokes. So that was a blast. So it was like this return to live shows and everything. So I had tickets to see Frozen since long before the pandemic. So getting to see Frozen and then Hadestown. So getting to see musical theater and Broadway. And now what I am looking at going forward are I'm going next weekend to see How Did This Get Made in LA. Unless this newest variant gets here sooner than expected. See the Doughboys in Chicago, Letterkenny Live in May in Chicago. And the big thing I've booked is going to Israel in July. A friend's daughter is becoming bat mitzvah, and I decided that was all the excuse I needed to finally put a trip to Israel back on the books. So I guess this is just the part of battling cancer where you need something to anticipate other than just the last day of treatment. And for me, that is sometimes I feel silly that I travel by myself to see podcasts. But with 2 years without live performances, I was really grateful for the times that I had done it in my past. And even though I feel silly that like I build my vacations and weekend trips around podcasts, I am not going to feel shame for that. Because the whole point of this podcast of Finding Favorites is that hobbies are great. It's great to love things. It's great to participate in the fan communities of the things you love. So while sometimes I feel a little sheepish that I will travel in stages one night, I'll fly all that way just to see a live podcast. I also don't want to sit around waiting for joy for things to be better. I'm going to travel safely. I'm going to get my fourth shot, which has been approved for cancer patients, before I go to Israel. And and then if you're in Illinois, I will always recommend get on I-55, go to Pontiac, and go to Wally's, which is the greatest truck stop in Illinois, possibly North America. I worry that I oversell it, and then people go and they're like, you have not oversold it. So find yourself somehow a way to go to Pontiac, Illinois, and go to Wally's which is the new truck stop, because that's a local trip you can anticipate and have fun going on. And finally, I have this section. I made this very long outline. This section is called Random Cancer Recommendations. So a big side effect of Taxol is neuropathy, which is nerve damage in your hands and your feet. And then your hands and feet either go numb or they feel like they're asleep. And my friend Marlene used to work for it, like the National Association about Neuropathy. So I'd been aware of it for a few years before I had to think about it. And it was not something I was going to risk. So I borrowed these like ice mittens and ice booties, ice socks from the hospital every week. And I did not experience neuropathy. So if neuropathy is a side effect of your chemotherapy, get these ice socks and ice mittens. Number two on my list, the medical recliner with a lift. If you're going to have a double mastectomy, if you're going to have a breast reduction, if you're doing something with like a major chest or abdominal surgery where using your arms to lift yourself out of bed might injure yourself, and you have a medical supply company that does furniture rentals, see about getting a medical recliner with a lift. I know it's not recommended for all surgery recoveries because it can stop you from healing because you're not putting weight. You know, I think if you had a hip replacement, you wouldn't get this chair because you need to be weight bearing. But for I can't believe that so many of my girlfriends have had C-sections without renting a medical recliner. If you were going to have major abdominal surgery and just to be able to sleep in this recliner and have it help you stand up. So rent a medical recliner with a lift if that is an option for you. It was only $250 for the first month and then like $50 for an additional month. Just so worth it. Ugly, big piece of furniture, but so cozy. I loved it. A couple gift boxes that I got that were really fun. I got a number of gift boxes, and actually they were all great, but there was one called Rock the Treatment, which is like a rock and roll chemotherapy box that had a fuzzy blanket and socks and a hat. I don't know. It just sort of like had stuff that you could tell that the items were selected by people who had gone through chemotherapy. It was very practical, but very fun. So Rock the Treatment gift boxes are great. I also received an Israeli gift box and created one of those and sent to another friend who got diagnosed with breast cancer around the same time as me. Those were really fun. Sort of like gifts from the shook. I did the dress I wore. I'll link to the video of me hitting the gong after radiation. But Fringe and Company does sequined caftans. They're out of New Orleans. It's a very Mardi Gras vibe to everything they do. And so I got my sequin caftan that I wore to my Hanukkah party, that I wore for my last radiation, and then again to Purim last night at my synagogue. Fringe and Co. Aquaphor is the main lotion that I've used. It's not a lotion. It's like an ointment. I used it after my surgeries. I used it during radiation. I've got some other like really lovely like Josie Maran whipped argan oil is like a fancy lotion I have, but Aquaphor is coming in hot during radiation for my overnight cream of choice. I really appreciated people got me Grubhub and Amazon gift cards that were really useful. I know both are kind of bad and questionable companies, but in this time it was really important for me just like not have to worry about food, what was I going to eat, when was I going to get here. And so I really appreciated people, Grubhub, Instacart, also Amazon gift cards. And then when people did sign up to bring me food and came by, that they brought me single servings. As a person who lives alone, I couldn't handle getting full lasagna, pans of lasagna from people. And people really listened to me this time and brought really beautiful single servings of dinners. One of the most creative dinners a friend brought was a 1970s salad bar, which was like they took a big flat Tupperware and made a bunch of dividers in it. And each divider had like a different salad topping so I could mix my own salad. And that was just like a very funny way to present a salad. The Sunday sleeper pants from Old Navy, they're like these super soft joggers that are $20 that I just went and got another pair today. Those were key because I could pull them up for if I wore them to chemotherapy, I could pull them up above my knee for acupuncture, which I got every week during chemotherapy. They're really thin and light and soft. So the Sunday sleepers, they're like pajama pants at Old Navy. Huge win. And I think my final random cancer recommendation is accepting help. Whether it was getting wheelchairs in the airport because I couldn't walk anymore, accepting rides, asking people to take out my garbage, cleaning my litter box, bringing meals, the friends who came for full weekends to either just keep me company or do chores with me. You know, Patty came and organized, like, did a master Koh Mari weekend with me. My friend Aaron came up from Mexico to go furniture shopping and set up my chemo bag and make sure that I had the clothes and the things I needed. My friend Shalvi came for a weekend. My mom came a number of times. I went to stay with family. My nephew, who had been living with me, still made sure to like hang out and, you know, we saw movies and would go grocery shopping and stuff together. But I think accepting help, you know, I chose to be very public with my cancer diagnosis, which is not required. But what I have found, the benefit of being public with a diagnosis like this is that the people who want to take care of you, you'll be surprised who shows up at your doorstep with a frozen pizza, or who sends a very soft leaf in the mail just so that you have like some wonderful soft things. And because I couldn't, sometimes I didn't know what to ask for. I'm only starting to realize I will have the energy to start saying thank you to people. So people just stepped up and helped my synagogue community, my family, my minion, my work colleagues, my friends, my internet communities, my podcast friends, podcast hosts. Like being public about it allowed people to show me how they care for me. And everyone, I had friends who couldn't step up in ways that they thought they should, but I was going through this during a pandemic, and really grateful for the friends who, like, whether it was just a couple texts to check in or more regular face-to-face time, my thank you notes will show that I wasn't keeping track. I don't know how I'll ever thank the people that took care of me during this time, but also like I wasn't keeping track. I don't have a list of people who didn't touch base with me enough. And so like they're on my blacklist, you know, like that's not how my brain worked in this. People showed up in unexpected ways, in expected ways, and all under the cover of COVID, which really impacted what people could do. And I'm grateful for all of it. So next week I'll be back with episode either 99 or 100, kind of depends on how I count. And I think I will have a longtime listener on to talk about her favorite thing, which is preparing for a very important Jewish holiday. And yeah, wash your hands, wear a mask, get your boosters, and keep enjoying your favorite things. Also, get your mammograms and your cancer screenings. And if you're under the age of 40 and you think there's a reason that you need to get a mammogram, push through and do what you got to do. But thank you for listening to this weird episode of Finding Favorites, and I hope you have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.